The good news of Jesus Christ according to Luke. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of Christ. The one who loves you says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." In the name of God, amen. There was a significant feast in the church last week, not marked by many, but it has impacts on what is happening here in this place today. Epiphany was celebrated on Monday, and it's the feast, of course, that closes off the season of Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas. In my family growing up, it was the day that whatever time or day it fell on was the day all of the Christmas decorations came down. Now, my mother, a mother of six children, had somehow the energy and the foresight to create an environment in our home with a Christmas tree and all of the trimmings, literally, to make us, we all talk about it even to this day. We remember walking into the living room and first, of course, seeing the tree lit up. And in those days, Mom, I don't know why she did this, she bought these glass ornaments. They were colored, but she put sand in them with soap and water, and we had to scrub the inside of them with sand and soap and water so all of the color would come out so they'd be crystal clear, because she couldn't find crystal clear. Well, anyway, we had those on the trees. We had tinsel on the tree. We had popcorn and berries. What are they called? Cranberries. It was just gorgeous. And then, of course, the smell. The smell was... usually a spruce tree. Well, when it came to Epiphany, we had to take it all down. And generally, the tree was in good shape. It felt like we were taking apart, you know, an integral part of the family's identity, tearing it all down. My father, God bless him, would take and cut the limbs off of the tree down to the stalk, to the middle trunk, and burn those bits in the fireplace, in the house, in the house. It was the end of a great time in the family. And it was a passage, a mourning that all of us mark and still talk about today. I got a call from two of my sisters saying, "Today's Epiphany, are you taking your house apart?" I had sadness to have to state I had very little up in my house that was a witness to Christmas. That leads me to wonder how many other gasps I heard from good, long Episcopalians this morning as they came into the church and saw that trees and crushes and flowers were still up from Christmas. Don't you know that Christmas season ends on Epiphany? Well, it was, in fact, a decision with the altar guild and me that said, we just needed a little bit more because last week we didn't have a chance to celebrate Eucharist before the last Sunday of Christmas. So let's extend it a little bit. So it's our gift to the community to celebrate Christmas and just stretch a little bit more out of it. But other than the crash, the trees, the flowers, what has the greatest impact on you when you enter this space? It may not be a tree, the creche. Is it the table? The cross? Maybe the windows? That thing that is supposed to garner our attention first and foremost when we come into this space, according to the rites of the church, are two. The table and the baptismal font. Those two things are the source of life for our Christian life. The baptistry is supposed to be a living reminder, a monument that greets us when we come in here, because as we see it, we are staring into our past and into our future. It is not a piece of furniture. It's not a desk or another table. It is the font of life, which we employ as the passageway from one world to another. This font holds the waters through which we pass to the other side of fire, of selfishness, of entitlement, and even of death. Here at this font, there is offered us holy life. The font of grace passed from the last generation to us and from this generation to the next. These waters, this baptism, this font also places demands on us. Yes, there is fire through which we must all walk. In the gospel today, John the Baptizer has been in center stage for a while when Jesus shows up. And when he does, John must step back and let the light fall on another. Jesus comes into focus, and rather than hoard the light, he is witness surrendering himself to John and receives baptism into a life that includes a life of sin and death, fire and failure, and Jesus rises above it. Jesus engages in an act of dying to self, of dying to his own plans to take on himself the plan God has for the world. Jesus is the metaphor for us of what it means to die every day and to emerge with new life. The baptismal font is both grave and mother. We are buried with Christ to the fires of self-centeredness that are wont to kill us. And here in these waters, we are reborn as creatures of water who find favor with God. The Episcopal Church has some beautiful, unique, elevated perspectives on baptism. It is, after all, one of two sacraments that we celebrate in their highest form. First, baptism is purifying. Jesus talks about separating wheat from chaff in the preparation of baptism. In the Episcopal Church, we believe that through life's experiences, through our failures, through our successes, we can resist evil. And when we fall into sin, we have a pathway to return to God in community at this table through those waters. Baptism is a calling. When he was baptized, Jesus heard the voice of God saying, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." In baptism, God calls you his own. It is a calling with a cost. Baptism calls us to our better selves, to take on the struggle of laying aside our differences, and to see that we are all and always one family. Baptism is the pathway for letting go. Third, the Episcopal Church sees baptism as action, a call to action. The Holy Spirit comes down physically upon Jesus with the gentleness of a father upon a beloved son. Jesus hears the call to live out the plan of God formed from the beginning. It is a plan of love. As Episcopalians, we recognize that God calls all baptized members to be seekers of truth and to be servants to the favored people of God, especially the people who are different, and the people who are sick and without love. And finally, baptism is a pathway of prayer. After his baptism, when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, he separated himself and prayed. With that Spirit, Jesus is strengthened to do the work of God and to offer himself as both victim and sacrifice to the whole world. Our baptism calls us and is a prayer to make us messengers of peace, of justice, and of action. We promise to break bread as a family. We promise to seek the face of God in the eyes of those we serve, those whom we love, and those whom we ought to love. We who are baptized are also an expectant people. When we realize the depth of our baptism, we sit expectantly on the edge of our seat. We are expectant people who believe and can testify that the story of God's plan of love is winning. The response of expectant people cannot be contained by the walls of any church. Through these waters, we have been initiated into the life of Jesus as King and of Jesus the servant. He walks with us through the fire, the water to the waters of justice and mercy on the other side. And we shall not be burned. If your faith makes you ready to again accept this challenge, I invite you now to stand and renew your baptismal promises. Do you believe in God the Father?